You are listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, a Canadian guide to building dependable wealth. Join your hosts, Richard Canfield and Jason Lowe, as they unlock the secrets to creating financial peace of mind in an uncertain world. Discover the strategies and mindsets to a financial future that you can bank on.
Get our simple 7-step guide to becoming your own banker. It's easy. Head over to 7steps.ca and learn exactly the learning process required for you to implement this amazing strategy into your financial life. That's 7steps.ca. So how exactly do you make the most amount of value in the world? How do you show up differently? Well, you can start by becoming a go-giver. We are joined today by a best-selling author, international speaker, someone for over 30 years has been successfully showing entrepreneurs, leaders, and sales teams how to communicate their value and accelerate business growth. I'm talking, of course, about Bob Berg. Now, my first introduction to Bob was almost 20 years ago, where I saw him speak and he was absolutely magnetic on stage. And I remember very clearly that he shared a gift with everyone who was at this session, and it was his top 10 open-ended questions, perfect for networking. And to this day, I still use them. And in fact, literally 2 or 3 days ago, I shared it with our team yet again, and every once in a while it does circle back up. So Bob, I'm so excited to have you here. And of course, I'm joined with my co-host today, which is Sarblo Gill, and we're going to have a ton of fun. And Bob, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here with us.
Thank you, Richard. Hello, Sarblo. Great to be with both of you.
Now, I would love to kick it off because you've been doing this for so long. You've been speaking on stages for so long, and share with us a little bit about, you know, what was one of the inspirations for you guys to put the Go Giver together? How did it go from all the work that you've been doing up to that point, endless referrals, training teams, to this model of the Go Giver, and now how it's developed into a massive success and multiple other iterations of the book for different types of people?
Oh, thank you. Endless Referrals, when that came out in the 90s, it was a how-to book, and it was basically for entrepreneurs and salespeople who knew they had a great product or service, they were proud of it, they knew it brought immense value to those they serve, but they didn't necessarily feel comfortable going out into their local communities and developing the kinds of relationships where people would want to do business with them directly and or through referrals. So that was, sort of a how to create those relationships where people would feel so good about you, where they would know you, they'd like you, they'd trust you, they'd want to do business with you, they'd want to tell the world about you. And, you know, that's what it was about. It was a way to do it in a way you could be very confident, especially if you were not someone who was particularly extroverted and talky and so forth. In fact, if you were talky, you needed to learn how to bring it back in and ask a lot of those questions that you were kind enough to mention, the feel-good questions, and be able to listen and understand that at its essence, sales is simply discovering what the other person needs, wants, or desires and helping them to get it. And we can only do that through asking questions and then really listening and really tuning in. And so even back then, I'd always loved reading business parables. Parables are stories. Stories tend to connect on a deeper, more heart-to-heart level than how-to books. And though both are important. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to take this basic premise of the, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust, and put it into a story format. Now, I can tell a story on stage. That's fairly simple. You tell about something that happened. But that's different from writing a work of fiction, which is what a parable by definition, is. So even though it has proven principles, it's still a work of fiction. Fortunately, in the early 2000s, I met John David Mann, who was the editor-in-chief of a magazine I was working for, or that I was writing articles for. I wasn't working for them. Well, I guess in a sense I was, but on a monthly basis. And John, even back then, had a wonderful reputation as a brilliant writer and storyteller. And he's such a great guy. And I just, I took this idea to him, this sort of basic outline for a story. It was not written in any way, and asked if he would like to be the lead writer storyteller. And it you know, took him a while. He really had to think that one over because he was busy and had a bunch of things to do. But finally he said, yeah, let's do this thing. And really the writing only took a few months. It was the year of getting rejected by 24 publishing houses before the 25th one picked us up and said yes. That was the big thing. But yeah, that's kind of how the Go-Giver came about.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And now, I mean, Sarblo, you've blessed many people with copies of that book. I know it's one that's a favorite of yours to share. So I'd love to maybe hear your perspective on what's led to you doing that, and how that book has showed up for you in so many ways.
Absolutely, Richard. And Bob, thank you so much for writing that book, Go-Giver. I got introduced to the book, I think it was a few years back. And Richard, this was at Nelson Nash Think Tank. And it was Jim Oliver who out of the blue just stood up and said, hey, have you guys read the book Go-Giver? And that's where I was like, you know what? Jim is referring to this book. I'm going to make a note of it. I'm going to go and order it. And I read it. And it just changed the perspective regarding how we approach scenarios in terms of, as you, Richard, as you mentioned, in terms of networking, in terms of client meetings, in, you know, not just client or networking, but even from family standpoint, right? Bob, I got to say this. One of my favorite takeaways from the book is, I'm reading it as verbatim. It says, your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment.
Thank you.
And that just stood for me and spoke to me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to so focus on adding value, being that go-giver, give. And the outcome has always been people start asking, hey, Sarblo, thank you so much for offering your value and service and introductions. What can I do for you? And it's like a system that I've developed naturally now. And it works. It works so well that, you know, when my clients start to introduce me to someone else who wants to implement the process of becoming a banker, the infinite banking concept, as a thank you to them for introducing me to this amazing new person that I've never met before, I send them a copy of Go-Giver with a handwritten note.
Thank you.
Right? Well, so I think I personally purchased all the Go-Giver books from Amazon Canada and helped distribute those books. In fact, Bob, you may recall one of my clients, because they when they get the book, they read the book, they always like to talk about the book. And social media is a great way for them to share the insights, and they take the movement and they thank me on social media. And so one of my clients put this on LinkedIn and he tagged you on it. And you tagged me on it saying, Sarblo, thank you for introducing my book to this particular person. So we've been tagging each other on LinkedIn, but this is the first time that we're meeting. So yeah. Gotcha. And then when they read the book, they come back to me and they say, hey, Sarblo, this is really, really good. Like, it's given me another perspective of, you know, before I ask for withdrawals, I should be putting deposits. I said, yeah, that's pretty much how it works. You deposit. Because without having a deposit in a bank, you're not going to withdraw money. So start depositing into relationships before you start withdrawing anything. But withdrawals will happen automatically.
Yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate that. And one thing I just really love is that, you know, you took action on the idea, because it's very easy to read something and think, oh, it's a good thought. You know, maybe someday I'll do it. But you began applying it. You know, and this is why we say we want people to be both go-getters, people of action.
Yeah.
And go-givers, people who are absolutely, totally laser focused on providing immense value to others. The combination of the two is very powerful. We always say be a go-getter and a go-giver. Just don't be a go-taker, right? Mm. That's the person who feels almost entitled, if you will, to take without having added value to the person, to the process, to the situation. And they tend to be, go-takers tend to be very frustrated because they rarely attain that level of success they feel they deserve. And even when they do, and they do sometimes, it tends to not be as sustainable because it hasn't been built on that most important of all things, the relationships.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's, you know, that's really such a key. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, there's so many instances, and I'm sure you hear stories about that book, as well as, of course, Endless Referrals, and also the training that you do on such a regular basis. Now, you have a daily tip email list that you have that goes every day. And we want to make sure that our listeners know where to get that. If you want to speak to that for a second, Bob, because I love getting those tips. I think they're fantastic. I mean, nice, quick, something simple and short on a day that can get you. And every day we need to be inspired, whether we're doing it internally or externally. You want to have something that can help you do that. And Bob has a systematic way of doing it. So maybe speak to that for a moment.
Oh, thank you. Yes, anyone can subscribe to it just by going to burg.com. And there should be an annoying little pop-up that comes up in about 10 seconds. It shows you how to do that. And we do it so that it arrives at your mailbox at 5 a.m. no matter where you are. How that happens, I don't know. My business partner is great with the technology stuff. She's the one that's her own banker, so she knows what she's doing.
Become your own banker and take back control over your financial life. Hey, is this even possible? You may be asking, can I even do this? Well, you better believe it. In fact, it's easy to get going. So easy that we've put together a free report, 7 Simple Steps to Becoming Your Own Banker. Download it right now. Go to 7steps.ca. That's 7steps.ca. Now let's get back to the episode.
Now, and I'm curious because the Go Giver, you had the original work and it's now kind of been, you have iterations of that, for families and for some different sectors. So, is there any that you're working on, upcoming around another segment, or kind of maybe walk us through, how did the demand go for you guys to see that there was a need to maybe get a little bit more specific in certain categories? I'm curious how that came up for you guys.
Yeah. So there are 4 books in the series altogether that John and I co-authored. And then he wrote a separate one that came out a couple of years ago with his wife, Anna, called The Go-Giver Marriage. Mm. So the first one, The Go-Giver, was the business parable. The second one, Go-Givers Sell More, is the only one in the series that's not a parable. That is more of a how-to that answered the questions from people. Okay, so the 5 laws in The Go-Giver, can you give us a bunch of examples, right? Because you really can't in a parable. Again, by its very nature, it's short and it's somewhat surface level. So John and I just took a whole bunch of stories of people that we heard from after they read the book, but also others, the many others who that's how they became successful, by doing those things long before they ever heard of something called The Go-Giver. Because as you both know, there's nothing new about any of the principles that John and I have shared in the book. I always loved what Jim Rohn, the great business philosopher, used to say: beware the person who comes to you offering new fundamentals. Right. They don't exist. They're like new antiques. It's an oxymoron. And so so we took a bunch of the stories from both of those types and put them in a book, Go-Givers Sell More, where we took all 5 of the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity, and gave examples, from those. Then the next one, The Go-Giver Leader, was to answer the question, well, so how does a go-giver, basically, the first book was for entrepreneurs and salespeople, basically, but it was used as a leadership book by a lot of people, but people wanted some more specifics. How does a leader actually, so that's where The Go-Giver Leader came. And then finally, we did, the 4th one was The Go-Giver Influencer, which is all about people skills. And, I'm a big believer that talent is important, ability is important, hard work is important, all these things, very, very important, but they're basically just the entry fee to get into the game, right? There's a lot of talent, there's a lot of people who work hard, there's a lot of people who are conscientious, there's a lot of people who can do the, but the ones who really go from success to stratospheric success, those are the people who've mastered people skills. The ability to attain the results they want when dealing with others, even those difficult others, and do so in a way where they also make that other person feel genuinely good about themselves, about the situation, and about you. And that's how we did the Go-Giver Influencer. And then, of course, John and Anna did the Go-Giver Marriage after that.
Amazing. What's interesting, it sounds to me, and maybe I've got this wrong, but you can clarify, is that essentially you wrote a book that had value and you knew you needed to get it out. You fought to get it on a publisher. So there was that experience. So what I hear in there is perseverance, and continually trying. That's what I heard in the first part of that story. And then additionally, now you've got it out there and now you're receiving feedback, you're receiving stories, you're hearing from people, and there's common themes in the questions. And the discussion table is, well, I guess there's some more value we have to add. We need to go and meet this demand. And that led to the next book, you know, more how-to oriented. And then more questions coming in. So it's almost like a bit of a self-fulfilling kind of a prophecy where you got the game ball going and it's, you know, steamrolling down the hill. Is that kind of a fair assessment?
It is. It's a great assessment. And I think the marketplace will generally tell you what it is they want. And if you're interested in pleasing the marketplace, well, you do very well. You know, as John David Mann and I say in Go Givers Sell More, money is simply an echo of value. Right? It's the thunder to values lightning, which means if your focus is on the value you're providing others, the money you receive is simply a natural result of that value.
I suspect that Sarbelo sees that almost every day. As someone who's a leader in our organization and training new advisors, as well as, you know, serving all the clients he does, the reciprocal effect of having those introductions made to new people is highly consistent in what we do. And, I think that's evidenced highly by the value that's provided, but it's also the fact that, when people are engaged in something and there's that relationship first mentality, you know, often I recall, and I suspect that you've met many people, maybe even in the past, there was a point in time, Bob, before you learned all these fundamentals and really embraced them in your own life, where there was a mindset or a thought process of what sales was. You know, I remember early on as a kid, I thought that I had a picture in my mind of what a salesperson was. Sure. And it wasn't particularly friendly.
It wasn't complimentary, right?
it wasn't complimentary. No, not exactly. and probably there was some marketing, and maybe there was some experiences that my parents dealt with in that relationship of, you know, sales individuals that may have like jaded my own thought sure. process. And so I remember, you know, getting into a position where I was going to end up being sales, going from a construction background to sales and being told that that's what I'm supposed to do. I thought, well, that seems kind of odd. Like, aren't salespeople this list of things here that I remember from my past? And now being able to reframe that into the, well, not really, it's actually this list of value that they provide for others, as long as they're doing that properly.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, how does that show up in the training that you do? Is that a common theme that you still find people are dealing with even to this day?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that when you hear people say something like, well, I don't like sales, or I could never be in sales. It's not that they don't like sales. It's that they don't like what they think selling is. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is, again, from, you know, everything is based on our beliefs, how we see the world. Our beliefs are basically subjective truth. It doesn't mean they're the truth. It means they're our truth. Sometimes our truth and the truth are the same. Many times they're not. And so our belief system, what I call our unconscious operating system, is a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television show, you know, movies, everything. And so we tend to see, although it's set in place pretty young. And of course, we never had an opportunity to question any of the premises we've been handed. So we grow up believing what we believe. And until we're conscious of that fact, we can't change it, right? And so if people see sales that way, well, that's, you know, that's what they think of sales. So really what we want to do is, as you used a great word, reframe that. You know, if someone thinks, if somebody thinks, well, selling is about trying to convince people to buy things they don't need or want. Well, first, let's understand that's not selling. That's called being a con artist. That's a totally different thing. Selling is, again, by definition, simply discovering what the other person needs, wants, and desires, and helping them to get it. The interesting thing is that the old English root of the word sell was selan, which meant to give. So when you're selling, you're literally giving. Now, someone might say, well, okay, I get that, Berg. That's clever, but isn't that just semantics? I mean, when you're selling, what are you really giving? Well, let's say you're in a sales conversation with a prospect, a prospective customer or client, okay? What exactly are you giving them? Well, I suggest you're giving them time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and ultimately exquisite value. When you reframe sales to being that, now you can feel good about it, right? Now you can understand that's something that you're doing that is benefiting others. And you're also making a very healthy living the more people you benefit.
Well, one of the things that interests me in what you shared there is thinking about my own past and my own childhood and that experience that I had in my early upbringing, as you identified, how those unconscious things get built over time around selling. And I've gone very much a 180 degree. So with my young children now that are 6 and 8 years old, I'm actually looking and seeking for opportunities to recognize where they're developing sales skills. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to help them understand that one of the greatest skills that they can learn to develop is a sales skill. So I'm really actually going the opposite direction, trying to help them recognize the value and the potential of that, because of what it fundamentally, whether they ever sell anything or not, they're always going to be to a degree selling themselves. Absolutely. as a sure relationship are. Potential partner for anyone that they introduce themselves to.
Absolutely. You're selling products, services, thoughts, philosophies, ideas, and which movie to see. It's still sales. Yeah. But again, when you think of it as doing it not to someone, but doing it for someone and with someone, it takes on a whole different meaning.
Amazing. What type of, in the types of training that you're doing with sales teams, how do you find that, most people are familiar with you, they're familiar with your works before you obviously embrace that. Once you get into a large organization and they're looking to have a figurehead like you come in and really help them expand and develop on some of these principles, do you find that when you're getting into that environment, they've already really started implementing a lot of them in advance, or you kind of got like a fresh, fresh soil that you get to plant into as you go into those organizations? I'm curious how you find that transpired. Maybe earlier on it was different than it is today, obviously, with all the great, amazing books that you have out there.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's a great question. I think there are the different ones. I think there are the ones that have seen this. A lot of times what happens is the book will go through a sales team and then they'll ask me to come in and speak, which, by the way, I don't even get on planes anymore. At 66 years old, I've stopped traveling. So my keynotes are now all online, virtual, which is great because I love the commute. It's like right downstairs. A lot of times it goes through the organization. So they've kind of gotten to that into their culture. I think the big thing though is that there's still misunderstandings. Even after reading the book, there are still misunderstandings about, what it means to be a go-giver in a sense, because again, people see things as they want to see them, and they see them based, through the filter of their own belief system. So, for example, they will think something like, well, being a go-giver means you just are giving yourself away. Well, nowhere in the story is anyone giving themselves away or doing anything martyrish or self-sacrificial or, anything like that. But they can read a whole book and see the word go-giver and think that's what it means because that's their thought process. So, when I come in and I let them know that, when we talk about the let's say the law of influence, your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. That doesn't mean you're a doormat, doesn't mean you're a martyr, doesn't mean you're self-sacrificial, certainly doesn't mean you're the low price supplier. What it means is it's a simple understanding that people do things for their own reasons. One of the first things I used to say when I would go into sales conferences is, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, right? They're not going to buy from you because you need the money or you'd like the sale to happen. In fact, they're not even going to buy from you just because you're a really nice person. They're going to buy from you because ultimately they believe they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. So when we say place the other person's interest first, it's understanding that that's the only reason they're going to buy from you. In fact, the best thing you can do in your self-interest is to put their interest first, which means place your focus on them, right? Another thing might be when we talk about value, okay? The law of value. And people might say, well, but I'm giving all this value, but nothing's really, you know, happening. What, you know, why? How could that be? Well, there's a really good reason. We need to understand what value really means. Value is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. So in other words, what is it about this, again, product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings so much worth to that person that they will willingly exchange their money for that and be glad they did while you make a very healthy profit? However, the key part of that definition is value is in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we think is of value to them or what we think they should think is of value to them. It's what they believe is of value to them. And so that goes right back to, you know, we all come at the world from our own set of beliefs. What we find to be of value, we assume they would as well. But that's not the case. That's why it's so very important to do our research, ask the questions, you know who we're talking to, what matters to them. And this is not just in the sales conversation. This is well before it. This is from the first time you meet that person, whether it's online, whether it's in person, whether it's an inbound, whether it's outbound, what have you, from the time you meet them through the relationship building process, the follow-up, the follow-through, the sales process, the referral process. It's always, you know, looking to understand what is it they find to be of value and how can I give that to them? Okay. When we understand that, now we know that if somebody's not, you know, that if you might think you're adding value to someone's life and they're not responsive, it's because they didn't feel it was of value. Okay. So, amazing. You know, these are just things that are very key. So, but yeah, so, you know, when it goes through a culture like that, it certainly is gives them a head start, you know, when myself or I also, Kathy and I have a team of certified GoGiver speakers, coaches that, you know, we now send into organizations since I don't travel and so that they can help them, you know, figure some of those things out. So, yeah, and then there's others, you know, going back to the original question that you asked, there's others who, you know, they don't have that culture, but they want to have that culture. Mm-hmm. And you know, it might be, you know, how do I distinguish myself in a commodity based market, which most markets are, because most products and services are pretty good. They tend to work well. And you know, there's not a whole bunch of difference. And until or unless your prospective customer or client understands the difference, because there might be a little bit, but whatever, between any two products, services, salespeople, companies, whatever, unless they can distinguish between them, it's always going to come down to who has the lowest price. That's human nature. And unless your last name is Walmart or Amazon.com, trying to make low price your unique selling proposition is not an effective way to do business. It's not profitable. It's not rewarding. It's not sustainable. We you know, typically say that when you sell on low price, you're a commodity. When you sell on high value, you're a resource. So how do you do that? You know, how do you become that? How do you distinguish yourself? Well, first you need to be that additional value. That's the key, right? How do you do that? Well, you know, the good news is there are dozens, if not hundreds, of ways. They tend to come down to five elements of value that we can provide to others. And that is excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And to the degree we communicate those one or more, hopefully all five of those elements of value at every single touch point, you know, that's the degree we take low price and competition out of the picture. So, you know, it's all those things. So yeah, there's an advantage to them reading the book and there's a lot more to go, you know, when it comes to depth into it.
Amazing. Five key methods of value added that you can do, to instantly change your results and how you feel about things.
And each of them is based on how that other person understands it. But that's what's so great about it, because the person who's paying attention and really has a desire and a heart for serving others, they're, you know, they're nine steps ahead of the game in a 10-step game.
Serbo posts regularly on a team board that we have, little amazing pieces of value, and he's highly consistent at it, and he absolutely appreciates people. I have an amazing photo board that he created with one of our books and bestseller lists and a picture on it, and then he gave me as a gift, and he held on to it for a year because I moved out of the province. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of goes to show you how, you know, that's just one way where he's really exemplified, to my opinion, the things, you know, again, go giver and go getter married together. Right. I think Serbo is a perfect individual to isolate exactly what you've identified in your book. And Serbo, I'd love to hear how you find all of Bob's work is showing up as you're now leading sales team for our organization. How do you find that shows up for you in this environment?
Oh, awesome, Richard. That's a really good question. And Bob, thank you for throwing so many nuggets of gold and opportunity. I'm sure anybody watching this episode or video is going to find so much value in it. So, one of the things that Bob, you say so well in the book is your income is directly proportional to how many people you want to serve and how well you serve them. Right. Yeah. So when it comes to serving, so obviously we're serving our clients when it comes to the implementation, the process. So our annual goal target setting, for example, is not based on, hey, here's how much revenue I think we need to be earning this year. This is what we should be targeting. Nada. It's all based on how many people we want to serve. And then it's also the discussion regarding what do you think those people need to say to everybody around them once they go through that service journey with us, which speaks to the point how well we want to serve them. So we ask ourselves those questions. What do people want to be saying regarding going through the experience working with Ascendant Financial? And so that we can build a system and process in place for clients on how to not just serve them, but how well to serve them going forward, right?
Awesome.
And that's just clients, but when it comes to teams, so obviously I lead and coach advisor team, same principles I bring to those discussions too, because advisors in that case is someone that I'm serving, and right. I want to look at what is the desired outcome that they want to get accomplished for themselves in the next 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 12 months, and what do they want to talk about their experience of going through that journey? And anything that we do is based on that thought process working backwards.
Yeah.
And here's the best part. Yeah. It works. Mm. Seamlessly.
Well, you're the embodiment of it. You know, if a good friend of mine says success does not leave clues, it leaves billboards. And you are a walking billboard. You are a walking billboard of how to apply the Go-Giver principles.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant principles. Yes. Thank you, Bob.
Bob, we've loved having you on the program. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining us here. We always like to close our show with one key question that we picked up from Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach.
His book, 10X is Better Than 2X, his latest one. Oh my gosh, that's going. We have that going throughout the entire Go-Giver online community. Yeah, what a brilliant, brilliant book that he and Dr. Hardy wrote.
Wow. We talk about everything Serbo just said, and then we talk about how do we go from 10x thinking, and is the way that we're thinking about this in a 10x fashion or not? So really love it how these two great ideas are married together. And so what I'm curious to know, because you've really made a massive shift for people at over 30 years of this work that you do. Amazingly, that your books and your knowledge base and the things you've taught people will live on even well beyond you being here, which is an amazing feat. My question for you is really, who do you most want to be a hero to?
Who do I most want to be a hero to? You know, if I had children, I'm sure it would be my children, but I don't. So, that's a great question. I think it would have to be that person who is. It would have to be that person, that individual who is seeking to make a contribution to life, who is looking to better themselves. and that they maybe see me through my work and so forth as one of those people that they can learn something from, because we can learn from everyone. You know, the wise person is one who learns from all others. And although I loved also what Jim Rohn said about that, he said, from some people we learn what to do, and from others we learn what not to do. So, you know, hopefully for most of the stuff, I can be a what to do.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bob, for being on the program. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely fantastic. I appreciate you both so much. Thank you very much for having me.
And for all of our YouTube listeners, of course, right there, right down below, you'll see a new playlist that just popped up. Of course, there's more value to be had. And take Bob's advice and continue your journey of learning. There's always something new to learn. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, where your wealth matters. Be sure to check out our social media channels for more great content. Hit subscribe on your favorite podcast player and be sure to rate the show. We definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to share this episode with someone you care about. Join us on the next episode where we continue to uncover the financial tools, strategies, and the mindsets that maximize your wealth.